For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. Newspapers, magazines, radio, television, how many sources have you seen that have nutrition advice or have ads that are trying to sell you something nutritionally? My guests today are going to talk with us about how to separate myth from fact and wheat from the chaff, pun intended. I recently had a chance to sit down again with UK dietitians Vanessa Oliver and Dr. Karen Bryla McNeese to talk about critically looking at all of the information that we're flooded with every day about nutrition. I think one of the things that frustrates a lot of us is we read on whatever our news media outlet source may be, you know, this week coffee is good and next week it causes horrible things and chocolate good, chocolate bad. And then the other thing that I think concerns a lot of us is there's a lot of proprietary organizations that want to sell us something, and we get bombarded with this, oh, we're going to be sexier, skinnier, amazing, intelligent people if we just eat this particular fruit or product or smoothie. How can we make our way through all of this?
I think one of the first things that we would remind people of is that real nutrition news and breakthroughs are actually quite rare. Things are not changing in the nutrition world nearly as quickly as the popular media makes it sound. And so therefore, you're right that people are feeling like, you know, the goalpost keeps changing. What I'm trying to do should keep changing so I can keep up with all of this. And it, unfortunately, from our experience as dietitians, creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of lack of confidence for people to feel like they can do what they feel like they should be doing. And therefore, they're just making it overcomplicated, and it really doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I guess I probably was unfair in asking you all a two-part question, you know, at the beginning about, you know, all sorts of information. But one of the things I'm concerned about, again, from a selling you something perspective, is what should we be looking out for when we get bombarded with those ads about the next superfood or the next great prepared product that's going to solve all our nutritional ills?
Sure. So I would say the first thing is if it's telling you that it's going to solve all of your nutritional ills, it's probably not. Anything that sounds too good to be true generally is, right? So that would be a major red flag for me and for any client that I was talking to. If something says that it's going to cure cancer, make you lose weight, have shiny, thick hair, improve your sex drive, and walk your dog for you, then, yeah, I would pass by that on the shelf, certainly.
And I guess another thing we often see is, and it's going to do it in 4 to 6 weeks or four to 6 days or something. You see a lot of these ads in print and broadcast media like that.
And people generally do like it when these nutrition headlines are consistent with what they want to hear or what they already do or what they want to do.
There's a little confirmation bias.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? So when people hear it's going to happen that quickly or it's going to make it so easy or you have a green light to eat all the dark chocolate and butter that you want, of course people get excited about that, right? And they're going to gravitate towards following the headlines that are consistent absolutely with that bias.
Yeah, and, you know, just like Greg, you said, it's you will see the sexy headlines, you know. Real, solid nutrition, health, science advice in general is just not sexy. It doesn't change very often, as Karen said. And as much as we say it, and maybe people are tired of hearing it, but moderation really seems to be what we keep coming back to in terms of nutrition advice. Get enough sleep, eat some vegetables, don't eat as much sugar, don't smoke, don't drink so much, you know. And even though it's not, doesn't have as many exclamation points maybe as people like to see, it's not quite as shiny as in terms of advice, but this is what works, and that's why we keep coming back to it.
I'm speaking with UK Health and Wellness Dietitians Dr. Karen Bryla McNeese and Vanessa Oliver about separating myths from facts when it comes to nutrition.
Well, and I think part of the struggle that we all face too is many media are trying to get our attention, so perhaps they're inflating the potential benefits of some of these new foods, these new products, that sort of thing, because they want us to click. They want they want our eyeballs. Do you have any other hints as to what we can do to inoculate ourselves a little bit? I mean, we like to think here that we are a good news source, and I'm sure every news source thinks that way about itself. But are there any other red flags? You know, things I think about are, you know, wrap yourself in this tin foil and you'll be skinny in a day, you know, that kind of crazy stuff. But I'm sure there's more subtle things we need to watch out for.
Well, I think you're correct about the media cycle. Absolutely, right? I mean, we have 24-hour news media and all kinds of print media, things on the internet now that we didn't have necessarily, you know, 10, 20 years ago, this bombardment. So to stay relevant, a lot of these news organizations absolutely will print very simplistic and sensational headlines. And we know not every person is going to go reference the original article, right, the research, but they do need to think about if it sounds that simple, can it really be true? Because what you see with a lot of these articles are that, one, they're maybe not reproducible. Has anybody else had a similar result? If you've never heard this before, right, then you should probably be skeptical. If all of a sudden an article comes out tomorrow that says oatmeal is bad for you, we would all probably be a little startled, wouldn't we? Because everything we seem to know about oatmeal so far seems pretty positive. And they also have to think about, you know, where was this, who was this research done with? Was it done with animals or humans? And even if it was done with humans, was it done with, you know, what gender, what race, what age groups was this done with? And you can't assume that any of that is transferable to another group. And these are probably pretty basic things people could find out about some of this research that they are intrigued about.
I'm speaking with UK Health and Wellness Dietitians Dr. Karen Brila-McNeese and Vanessa Oliver about separating myths from facts when it comes to nutrition.
A couple more red flags that maybe might sort of stand out if someone looks like they're really cherry-picking their sources to only agree with either the beliefs of the researcher or to appeal to a particular audience. That would be a big red flag to look out for. As well as citing invalid or uncredible sources. Like, for example, using anecdotes. Well, my friend did this, and so I know it works. Instead of hard evidence such as peer-reviewed literature, which would be the gold standard.
Sure. The old, my grandfather smoked and he lived to be 90, ergo smoking
sure.
is okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that type of thing. And I guess also, and Karen, maybe you touched on this as well, and Vanessa, maybe you did, looking at the researcher, him or herself, making sure they're from a reputable organization. Vanessa, you talked about citing credible sources, anecdotes versus peer-reviewed, reproducible literature. I guess, you know, as we go forward, maybe what we want our listeners to do is to read and think critically about these issues.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I wanted to ask you about and see if I'm correct in this assertion, if you are otherwise healthy and eating a balanced diet, there's really no need to actually pay for things outside of a farmer's market or grocery store for supplements, herbal products, vitamins, that type of thing. We really do take care of that with a well-balanced diet.
That's true. And there is just a lot more gray area in nutrition than people realize, right? And I think, again, so much of these sensational and simplistic headlines are making people think that human nutrition and what we know about it is very black and white. It's either good or it's bad. And we're always categorizing advice and foods in that way. And it's just not necessary. And again, it's fueling that anxiety and uncertainty that people have. But you're absolutely right that balanced diet takes care of a very, very large percentage of your health concerns. And a generally health-promoting diet in the way that Vanessa already described is truly enough based on what we know for most people.
Yeah, absolutely. And to take that even a little bit further, sometimes you'll see some sources saying that large doses of vitamins are going to be really effective against disease states and other health conditions. And that sometimes we refer to that as, you know, mega dosing. If so much is good, then so much more must be better, you know, and that's just not necessarily the case. And another thing I like to caution clients against, too, if you still, you know, you're not convinced by Karen or I as far as vitamins and supplements are concerned, and or maybe you are taking a particular supplement or a particular health condition, if you're taking something as medicine, treat it as medicine, and be sure to disclose to your primary healthcare provider that you are doing so. because there are certain herbal supplements, for example, some vitamins that can interact with other medications that you might be on and cause some not so great health results.
Well, and we also know these aren't FDA controlled, and that a lot of these herbal supplements, Ayurvedic preparations, that sort of thing, have been found to actually have contaminants and poisons in them.
In many cases, yes.
I'm speaking with UK Health and Wellness Dietitians Dr. Karen Brila-McNeice and Vanessa Oliver about separating myths from facts when it comes to nutrition.
Well, what about another side of the same coin where people are being told sometimes to take things out of their diet? For instance, you know, I think the three of us in this room are old enough to remember, all fat is bad, get rid of all fat. And then it became all carbs are bad, get rid of all carbs. What do you all think about that?
We think that if somebody comes to see us as dietitians, they probably do expect us to say, you can't eat this, this, and this anymore. That is a very common experience with our clients. And I think we always feel a great sense of accomplishment when they leave after talking to us and say, oh, wow, this is great. I feel like I can eat so many foods that I didn't realize I was allowed to eat before. And you didn't tell me I had to give up chocolate if that's what I love, or my chips, or my, you know, beer, or whatever it is. We can find ways to make those favorite not so healthy things fit, but still keep that focus on what you can eat. What does this food give you, right? And we're so used to, and we've been so trained to think about what's in it that's bad for us. So we're so scared of our food, right? About what to avoid. But we want to focus on what is good in this food. How does it fuel you? How does it promote your health? And that is a totally different perspective than the general population looks at nutrition with.
And it's not always going to be nutritionally fueling you or how it is nutritionally good for you. There are, as we know, psychological, emotional, mental aspects to food, and those are important to fuel as well, maybe in different ways. But you do want to look at your food from all of those different perspectives.
And I guess in your clientele, you see a lot of ebb and flow of people who adhere to particular diets they've heard about in the media. You know, I'm thinking particularly about, let's say, paleo. You know, that was all the rage. And before that, there was Atkins and who knows what it's going to be tomorrow. What do you give your clients the same sort of caveats to beware as they read this and to think critically?
Yeah, absolutely. One major thing is that if a particular diet or meal plan is encouraging you to cut out an entire macronutrient, you know, so a protein or a carb or a fat, those are the three biggies. If it's extolling cutting those out, then that is probably not going to be an evidence-based and scientifically bound diet. So that is, if anyone walks away with anything else from this, walk away with that.
Yeah, I mean, I for one, frankly, don't want to live like a caveman, speaking of paleo.
You'd be dead.
I mean, 35 is old, if you're lucky to live that long before you're eaten by a mammoth. So I think we look for different ways of living. Well, is there anything I've neglected to ask you that you would want to get out there to make people aware of perhaps they're not doing so badly after all and things to look out for?
That is a great thing that you just said, because I feel like that is a pretty common experience of our clients that do come to talk to us, that they will leave saying exactly that. Oh, I'm not doing as bad as I thought I was, because, again, they have built up in their minds these high, unrealistic, not evidence-based expectations, right, that they're of what their diet should look like. And they are actually relieved when they leave to find out, like, hey, you know, 80-90% of the time I'm eating these nutrient-dense foods that are promoting my health and fueling me properly. And hey, I'm not going to worry about that other 10% of the time, because that really is okay, as long as that 80-90% is consistent and it's intentional.
Yep. There's always room for a little bit of chocolate.
and
almost always.
And you're not going to confront our listeners in the grocery store with your hands on your hips, tisking them for that chocolate in their basket.
Absolutely not. As long as they promise not to look in our cart in the same way.
I was just going to say the same thing.
My thanks to UK Health and Wellness Dietitians Vanessa Oliver and Dr. Karen Brila-McNeice. We've only scratched the surface about nutrition, myths, and facts. And I would urge you to visit our website at wuky.org for our full podcast. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at WUKY.org.